Lesson today is found on page number 1201 in your pew Bible. It comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. After the apostles returned to Jesus, they told him everything they had done and taught. But so many people were coming and going that Jesus and the apostles did not even have a chance to eat. Then Jesus said to them, "Let's go to a place where we can be alone and get some rest." They left in a boat for a place where they could be alone, but many people saw them leave and figured out where they were going. Some people from every town ran on ahead and got there first. When Jesus got out of the boat, he saw a large crowd that was like sheep without a shepherd. He felt sorry for the people and started teaching them many things. That evening, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This place is like a desert, and it is already late. Let the crowds leave so they can go to the farms and the villages near here and buy something to eat." Jesus replied, "You give them something to eat." But they asked him, "Don't you know that it would take almost a year's wages to buy all of these people something to eat?" Then Jesus said, "How much bread do they have? Go and see." They found out and answered, "We have 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish." Jesus told his disciples to have the people sit down on the green grass. They sat down in groups of about 100 and groups of 50. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up toward heaven and blessed the food. Then he broke the bread and handed it to his disciples to give to the people. He also divided the 2 fish so that everyone could have some. After everyone had eaten all they wanted, Jesus' disciples picked up 12 large baskets of leftover bread and fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the food. May God add blessing to this reading.
Let's pray. Mighty and wonderful and just a terrific God, I pray once again this morning that these words will first be acceptable to you, that in your own way you will use them to draw us closer to you and to each other. We pray in Christ's name, amen. So, did you hear about the hillbilly from the Badlands of western North Dakota? You didn't think there were any hillbillies out there, did you? Well, this hillbilly, he wasn't exactly the brightest light bulb in the ceiling, if you know what I mean. And one time, he took his family to the big city of Bismarck. Now, he had never been to the Capitol building before, and he always wanted to see the Capitol building, and so that's one of the first places that he brought his family. And so there he was, standing inside the building, when for the first time ever, he saw an elevator. Never seen one before. And so he was standing there looking, and all of a sudden he saw this older, frail lady kind of hobble into the elevator, and then the doors closed. He stood there for a couple more minutes, and all of a sudden the doors opened up. And this young, attractive woman walked out the doors. And so this hillbilly, he hollered to his youngest son, "Billy," he said, "go get your mother." So change isn't easy, is it? But it's necessary. I wish I had a nickel for every time somebody has mentioned the word change to me during these past couple of months. I'd have quite a bit of money. And yet, change, our life, is about change, isn't it? I want you to do me a favor right now. I just want you to sit back, and I want you to think about all the changes that have occurred during the past 100 years. Better yet, think about all the changes that have happened since you were born. For example, during the last 100 years, this country went from 45 states to 50. 100 years ago, the average cost of a dozen eggs was about 30 cents. Today, the cost of a dozen eggs is what? A couple dollars? Life expectancy 100 years ago, the average life expectancy was about 47 years of age. Today, the life expectancy is 79 years of age. During the last 100 years, we've seen the invention of the flush toilet, the automobile, jet planes, the telephone, polio vaccines, television, computers, iPhones, iPads, 9/11, and lots more. There's been all kinds of changes during the last 100 years. So what's that you say? You don't like change? I'm sorry, but change is all around us. When the railroads were first introduced to this country, there were some people who thought that the railroad might be the downfall of the U.S., and Martin Van Buren was one of them that thought it would be the downfall of our country. Now, at the time, Martin Van Buren was the governor of New York, and he would later become, as you know, the 8th president of this country. Well, Martin Van Buren, he wrote a letter to the then president, Andrew Jackson, expressing his concern, his worry about the railroad. Now, this letter is dated January 31st, 1828, and it goes like this. Dear President Jackson, as you may know, Mr. President, railroad carriages are pulled at the enormous speed of 15 miles per hour, which, in addition to endangering life and limb of passengers, roar and snort their way through the countryside, setting fire to crops, scaring the livestock, and frightening women and children. And I love this last sentence. It goes, The Almighty certainly never intended that people should travel at such breakneck speed. And look at things today, right? In last week's bulletin, there was a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson about change, and it goes like this: Unless you try to do something other than what you've already mastered, you will not grow. For me, a big change is going to be when I say goodbye to Ray, and I'm going to miss Ray an awful lot. Ray has not only my colleague and my partner here at McCabe, but he is a good friend of mine. Ray is that kind of person that I could vent to. Do you have anybody that you can vent to? If one of you would get me angry, or if you upset me, or when you insulted me, or when you hurt me some way, I could always go to Ray. Ray, I'd say, did you hear what so-and-so said or did? And then we could talk about it. And it made it a lot better for me. Ray and I did a lot of planning together. We spent a lot of time talking about church stuff over lattes at Cafe Aroma, bone shakers, and Starbucks, just to mention a few. And I believe that McCabe Church is in pretty good shape, thanks to all that planning. The Ray and Rick team won't be around much longer. It won't be together much longer, and that's going to be really hard on me. And I want Ray and Sarah and their boys to know that we as a church will continue to pray for them. Being in ministry, wherever a person is appointed, isn't easy today, because you have to learn to be as Christ-like as you possibly can. And that means bringing light to dark areas of this world. It means learning how to turn the other cheek when you'd rather not turn the other cheek. It means walking an extra mile for somebody when everybody around you is saying you've walked far enough. And it means loving not only the lovable people, but also the unlovable people. And folks, that's not easy to do. It's hard. And so to Ray and Sarah, I wish them nothing but God's best. And I pray that they will flourish in Minot, and that they can find a home there just like the home they had here. So, what about the rest of us? Now, I don't know about you, but I'll be the first one to admit that I'm pretty nervous about this change. Fear, being worried, concerned, anxious would also describe some of my feelings. What about you? Are you a little concerned, a little worried about your church? I've been thinking a lot about this, and it seems to me that McCabe Church is kind of like a trapeze artist. You've been to the circus, right? And you've seen trapeze artists? Picture with me, if you will. Picture this trapeze artist swinging high in the air, and all they're holding on to is a single bar. Can you see him or her right now? The trapeze artist is swinging back and forth, high in the air, back and forth they go. Now comes the good part, comes the exciting part, and you know the part I'm talking about. It's when the trapeze artist lets go of the one bar and goes sailing towards the next bar. Are you still with me here? Now, this is the scary part, because the trapeze artist has let go of the one bar, a bar where it was safe and comfortable for them, and they're sailing to the second bar, but they're not there yet. They're in between bars. It's called hope. Do you know that? You and all the people watching them, you're hoping and you're praying that they'll catch that second bar and everything will be fine. This is how I see McCabe. We're making some changes. We're letting go of one bar, and we're reaching toward a second bar. We're letting go of one bar that we can call the way things have always been, and we're reaching toward a new and exciting bar. But you know what? I believe that we will be just fine. In fact, I'd like you to repeat after me, if you will. We will be fine. Do it again. We will be fine. One more time. We will be fine. We're going to have some work and planning to do, but we will be fine. We're going to have some decisions to make, folks, but we will be fine. We're going to have some challenges to solve around here, but we will be fine. Now, I believe we're going to be fine for two reasons that I'd like you to remember. They're both important. We're going to be fine, first, because of you. McCabe Church is full, literally full, of wonderful, dedicated, talented, faithful, and prayerful people. When I look around this room, when I look at all of you, I see the body of Christ in all of its glory. You are going to step up. And it's going to be you who are going to help make this church stronger and better and more vital than we have ever been before. And folks, I can hardly wait until that happens. In our scripture reading today from Mark, we heard the story about Jesus feeding the 5,000 people. It's a great story, wasn't it? Jesus said to his disciples, "You give them something to eat," meaning the 5,000. The disciples, they objected, didn't they? They said, "Lord, it's going to take almost a year's salary to feed those 5,000. Do you really want us to spend that much money on them?" And you remember what happened next? Jesus asked them, he said, "How many loaves of bread do you have?" And so those disciples, they did a quick accounting, and they reported back to Jesus. "Jesus," they said, "we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And right here is truly the amazing part. Jesus had everybody sit down on the ground. And then he took those 5 loaves of bread and those 2 fish, and he held them in the air. He looked towards heaven. He thanked God for the bread and the fish. And then he served all the people. Did you hear that? He served all the people. The 5,000 ate, and the Bible tells us they were well fed. And then the other disciples, they walk around and they collected 12 basketfuls of bread and fish. They were leftovers. They had leftovers. In fact, that's where I think the word leftover came from, is back then. Let me ask you a question right now. Where do you think that extra bread and fish came from? This is what I think. I think that the 5,000, that they were challenged to reach, to dig down, deep down into their own baskets and come up with the extra fish and bread. It's amazing. It's simply amazing of what can happen when the body of Christ is determined to serve God. This also is McCabe Church. Right now, it might be a bit scary to think about our future and some of the changes that we're making. But we have what it takes right here, right now, to make those changes. We have what it takes. We won't be alone. The second reason I believe that we'll be fine is this. We're not alone. You realize that? God is with us. God has always been with us. And God will always be with us. When we let go of that first bar and we go sailing through the air, God is going to be with us to help us find that second bar. We will not be alone. One of my favorite verses is from Psalms 30. It's the last part of verse 5. I'm sure a lot of you have heard it. It goes something like this: weeping or crying may linger for the nighttime, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may linger for the nighttime, but joy comes in the morning. So yes, we're going to have some challenges ahead, folks, but joy will come in the morning. We're going to make our fair share of mistakes, believe me, but joy will come in the morning. And yes, we're going to probably miss some things that we're used to having around here, but joy will come in the morning. One of my favorite hymns is a hymn called Trust and Obey. It's our last hymn today. It's on page 467. Would you turn to that right now? I want you to humor me one more time this morning, and I want us to read the 4 verses together slowly. We won't read the refrain or the chorus, but I want us to read them together, and I want us to think about the words that we're reading. Also, I want us to think about God, and also I want us to think about McCabe Church and how all of them are related. You do that with me? 467, verse 1, and we'll read nice and slow. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Change isn't easy, but it's necessary. And yes, I know we're going to be making our share of mistakes and errors around here. But folks, we're in this together. We are the body of Christ. And we can face our future knowing full well that we face it not alone, that God is with us. In God, we can trust and obey. Do I hear an amen?